We need to be clear about this, that we are holy and holy ones because God has made us so, not because we have earned it or by anything of what we do. So, because when I say, you know, welcome holy ones, you might be like, not sure about that one. You should have seen what was going on in the car on the way over. Or whatever the case may be, right? So we're holy not because we prove it or demonstrate it. We are made holy by God, His choice in Jesus, through Jesus, with the intent. There's actually an important truth to this idea that you should see my life if you want to call me holy, because God's desire is that we should begin to live more truly as those we are, the holy ones. And so what this does is set up, and I apologize for some of this will be kind of heady, abstract, because we're going to be talking about ontology. You already know, ontology what? Yeah. Ontology, the Greek word ontos for being, the word ology that we tie on to things like biology and psychology, the study of or the logic or the structure of. Onto, being, ology, the study of being. Because this is the thing that I think we need to realize, is that God has actually made us different. We're qualitatively different when we become the children of God. It's not about us trying to be something we're not. It's about us beginning to release or discover or unleash who we really are. And I think that makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to try to be who you are as opposed to being trying to be something you're not. And the way that sort of Christianity happens historically, that is in our lives, often we get the sense that we're trying hard to be something we're not. You know, I'm really not that patient, but I'd like to be more patient, so I'm going to try to be patient. And the scripture today and the doctrine of all saints, the holy ones who we are a part of, in our creed, we talk about the communion of saints, and that's in part the theological doctrine or background for this celebration of All Saints and All Souls Day, which is All Saints and All Souls cover the whole gamut of that great cloud of witnesses, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. And so we are called not to be something we aren't, but to discover who we are, and beginning from that position does make a big difference, I think. So you know the order of being or the study of ontology, even though you weren't phrased that way. Go back to grade 4 science class, roughly. I don't know exactly when this. Your teacher did not. My teacher did. She said, today, children, we're going to study ontology. No, I'm kidding. She didn't say that. I got that later in life. What they do is they say, I have a rock here and I have a plant. Would you agree that both exist? The children are, yeah, well, of course they exist, teacher. They both are. The rock is and the plant is. Do you agree that they are different? Well, yes, they are different, teacher. How are they different? Well, they're different in this. The rock doesn't have life. It's inorganic. It's matter. The plant, though it enjoys the privilege of being material, having matter, being inorganic, is also organic. It lives. Then the teacher brings the goldfish in. Do you agree they both exist? All three exist? Yes, teacher, they all exist. Is the goldfish like the plant? Yes and no. It's like the plant that it's alive, but it's unlike the plant, it can move. It can also communicate, right? Fish talk. It's their eyes, you know? Big eyes, very expressive. They're like, ooh, having a good day, are we, little Goldie? Then in comes the puppy or the cat. I never had a pet monkey. I imagine they'd be a lot of fun. And then we say fish versus mammal versus one who really does seem to communicate at a certain level. Any dog lovers are pretty convinced dogs can talk, and They do communicate. There's a lot going on compared to a fish or a plant with the dog or other higher order mammal. And then we get humans. Now, I know in our current day there's some debate about whether or not a human is so all of these are qualitative differences, sorry. Qualitative. It's not about more. It's about different, right? It's not about more. The fish doesn't have more than the plant has. The fish has different than the plant has. The dog has different than the fish has. Humans have different than the dog has. If you doubt me, next time you're having a trouble with your car, the little light goes on, just ask your dog in. You're like, dog, it's all yours. I'll come back in 5 hours. Now, I better give you 12, but humans are different. They are different. Now, what modern science has done is it caps the ontology chain right there, the chain of being, the study of being. But up until the last 200 years, the West has said humans, there's also a qualitative different level of being above humanity, and there's probably several levels of being because we might have angels and other sort of principalities and powers or thrones and dominions. And then we have God himself and God's court in heavens, whatever that means. And so there's all these levels of being, but in our materialistic scientific world, we've kind of drawn the bar there at humans. In fact, increasingly, we've drawn the bar at animals because humans are just another animal. There's no qualitative difference according to philosophy and sensibility in our day today. I'd like to see their dogs fix their cars, just saying. But this is what the scriptures tell us, is that there's an ontological difference, a difference in the level of being when you become gods. God is creating a new humanity, a new creation, a people of God called out a new thing. And the church, in our Ephesians passage today, and we began with this statement, or very close to the beginning, Paul is writing to the Gentiles who are pagans. They're no relationship with God apart from this very recent occurrence in their life when they heard the word of truth. Reality was proclaimed to them through preaching. They received it with faith, and what that means is they said yes. They heard this: God, the great God who created all of heaven and earth, in love has become a savior for all of humanity through the human Jesus of Nazareth, historical figure. God, creator, sovereign ruler of all that is, creator of time and space and all that is, in Jesus has reached out to you to bring you to himself, become your savior. And they said, yes, I will believe that. I will accept that. I will receive that. I will act on that as truth. That's what believing means. So they heard, they believed, they were sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, sealed in Christ. They became new, qualitatively different people. And the early church, I don't think Paul's talking about this in Ephesians, he may be, but the early church very quickly began to say, this is what happens in baptism, that God puts his seal upon us. Now, what's a seal? Besides being a very cute little creature, way cuter than walruses. Walruses get the short end of the stick there. A seal is, it's like this. Gord, you're listening? It's the Oilers jersey, eh? You put an Oilers jersey on, everybody knows where your loyalties are, right? They know a couple things about you. One is that you've spent some time up north, probably, or had a parent or a grandparent that lived up north, in Alberta, that is. And secondly, that you will never cheer for the Flames. Doesn't matter who else is in the playoffs, the Flames will never be the one you're cheering for. And there's a number of other things. Just by that identity, that logo, and this is what a seal is. It's a mark, it's an identity, it's a proclamation of what you are about. And God has sealed us in the Holy Spirit, and he's made us new. Now, why do I think that this is a level of ontology? Did you hear the gospel? Now, I know we've all heard this before, most of us. We've got some visitors today. Maybe it was a new thing. You should be horrified. The poor are blessed, the hungry are blessed, those who persecute. Blessed are you when people revile you and speak evil against you. Jump for joy. Huh? You like that? Now, here's the thing, folks. You cannot pretend to do that. You can try that for a while. You might pull it off. When I'm feeling really good, get up, great sleep, good breakfast. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, that's fine. You take it. It's all yours, you know. Turn the other cheek. I'm good. Next day, get up all cranky, a little stressed. I'm like, to hell with that. You give that back, you know. Turning the other cheek is about number 45 on the list of responses. I have a whole lot of other very attractive responses, immediate and automatic responses. Did you hear that? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That doesn't mean both of us get the ice cream. That means I say, no, you have the ice cream. That ain't human. You know what I'm saying? That's not natural. That's a different level of being. Jesus wasn't smirking. He wasn't laughing. He wasn't like, can you believe they believe that? That's crazy talk. I had a hard time keeping a straight face when I said that. No, Jesus actually expects us to do this stuff. He did it. He lived that way. Giving to others at his own hurt and his own cost. Naturally, that's a different level of being. Wouldn't you agree? You meet people like that, this is like plant and goldfish. There's something different going on here. Qualitative differences. Now, it might not be attractive to you, you may not choose that, but I think you should recognize. And the sorry fact is, or the disappointing and tragic fact is that often as Christians, we think we're supposed to try hard to do that, to be that, and that's not what's being said to us. This is why Paul prays that we might have our eyes opened to realize what's already ours. You could say that the truth that the gospel and the Bible gives us is this: realize who you are and then live that way. There's a film from the 60s, some of you may have seen this, Disney put it out, it was called The Ugly Dachshund. It was about a Great Dane puppy that was raised with a litter of dachshund puppies. And the puppy believed he was a dachshund, the Great Dane puppy, which, just thinking of it, you realize how funny that is, right? There's going to be all sorts of comedy in this. The Great Dane was not a dachshund. Doesn't matter how much he thought he was. And at the end of the movie, he, of course, discovers how he's a Great Dane. Not to say the Great Danes are better than dachshunds, right? Dachshunds are beautiful people, too. But they're different, aren't they? Very different when a dachshund cuddles up on your lap and a Great Dane cuddles up on your lap. Very different experience. When the dachshund jumps onto your bed from 3 feet or 7 feet away and the Great Dane jumps on your bed from 6 feet away. Very different experience. The Ugly Duckling, of course, precedes the Ugly Dachshund. And the Ugly Duckling is about a swan who's raised as a duck, doesn't fit in, realizes he's a swan, or she's a swan, and embraces this new identity and soars free. And again, there's some qualitative judgment there about swans are better than ducks. I feel really bad for the ducks. We know, of course, that swans aren't better than ducks, but they are different. And Paul wants you to know that you feel awkward in your world because you're called into something different, a higher order or a different order of being. You are a child of God. Now here's the catch. If we're 40 years old and we realize that we aren't who we thought we were, but we're actually a child of God, a son or a daughter of God, we've got 40 years of thinking and history and emotion and all that's working against our ability to live out of who we are. Right? Does that make sense? Now, Dylan and Dominic, 9 and 7, have a little easier job than a 40-year-old if they make consistently the choice to be who they are once they've come through the waters of baptism, been sealed by the Holy Spirit, as sons of God. they, by the time they're 40, will be a much smoother road in that new identity. Or an infant baptized is even a better example. If they could make those choices, rarely, I think, does that happen because of the way our human life is. But the fact that it's hard, and the fact that we have to make a choice to remember who we are, doesn't mean that that isn't true. The dachshund, the Great Dane who thinks he's a dachshund, may revert occasionally. A cat might come up and he might go, ooh, yeah, 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 and run away, because dachshunds, I think, well, dachshunds probably chase cats anyways. No, okay, a dachshund's smarter than that. The cat is the same size or bigger than the dachshund, and so they're not going to chase the cat. A Great Dane probably would chase a cat, not run from a cat. So there's a struggle. But the answer is not to send the Great Dane to therapy or to try and teach him, create him something in him that isn't already there. It's to encourage him to become who he is. And that, brothers and sisters, is what the gospel is. Become who you are. Who are you? You are loved by God. Sought out. He went to the far land to find you, wherever you were, whatever decrepitude that looked like, or whatever just mindlessness, a pursuit of a career, ambitions, whatever it is. It's not all ugly. It's just not who you are. He found you. He purchased you, if you want to use that analogy, with his cost, great cost to himself. And now he's drawn you into his love and life. And he's saying just what Paul says. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be open, that you might know the hope of your calling, the riches, the vast treasure trove that's yours now, inheritance in God, and the exceeding greatness of the effectual working of the mighty power of God. And Paul uses every Greek term for effectual and energetic working power in that sentence, because for Paul, there's no limit to the power of God. It is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the power that can reverse death, you know, is greater than everything else, because death is the final frontier. And in baptism, we have moved beyond that. We are in a new order of being, beyond death. And we just need to realize it. We need to have our eyes opened. Be who you are, you ugly dachshunds, you.